God is glorious in his saints. Welcome to the Christian Saints podcast. My name is Professor Darren Ong, recording from Malaysia. In this podcast, we explore the lives of the Christian saints from the Anglican, Roman Catholic, and Eastern Orthodox traditions. Today, we commemorate St. George, also known as St. George of Lydda, or St. George the Martyr. He was a distinguished Roman soldier in the early church, who was martyred in the year 303 for refusing to renounce his Christian faith. This was a time when the Emperor Diocletian was in power, a man who was extremely hostile to the Christian faith. St. George became a very popular saint, particularly with soldiers. The nation of Georgia is named after him. He is the patron saint of that country, as well as two others, England and Ethiopia. The most famous story involving St. George has to be his legendary encounter with a dragon. This story is not in the earliest sources of the saint's life, but became very popular in medieval times. In Libya, there was a village threatened by a dragon, who demanded an annual tribute of livestock to eat. The village soon ran out of livestock, and were forced to give an annual human sacrifice to the dragon instead. This sacrifice was chosen by lot. One year, a princess was chosen, but luckily for her, St. George passes by, hears of her plight, and kills the dragon. The villagers are so grateful that they all convert to the Christian faith. Let us read an account of the Golden Legend by Jacobus de Voragine about the martyrdom of St. George. This golden legend is a famous collection of saints' lives. I am using a translation by William Granger Ryan. At this time, in the reign of Diocletian and Maximian, the prefect Dacian launched against the Christians a persecution so violent that in 1 month 17,000 won the crown of martyrdom, while many others, being threatened with torture, gave in and offered sacrifice to the idols. Seeing this, St. George, overcome with grief, gave away all his possessions, laid aside his military trappings, and put on the garb of the Christians. He then pushed into the middle of the crowd and cried out, "All your gods are demons, and our God alone is the creator of the heavens." This angered the prefect, who retorted, "By what rashness do you dare call our gods demons? Where do you come from, and what is your name?" George answered him, "My name is George. I come of noble forebears in Cappadocia. With the help of Christ, I have conquered Palestine. But now I have left all that to serve the God of heaven more freely." The prefect, seeing that he could not win him over, commanded that he be stretched on the rack, and had him torn limb from limb with hooks. His body was burned with flaming torches, and salt was rubbed into his gaping wounds. That very night the Lord appeared to him in the midst of a great light, and so sweetly comforted him with his presence and his words, that the saint thought nothing of his torments. Dacian, now convinced that the infliction of pain was of no avail, summoned a certain magician and said to him, "It must be by their magical arts that the Christians make light of our tortures, and they hold sacrifice to our gods to be worthless." The magician replied, "If I cannot overcome his spells, let my head be forfeit." Thereupon, relying on his magic, and invoking the names of his gods, he mixed poison into some wine and gave it to Blessed George to drink. But the saint made the sign of the cross over the wine, drank it, and suffered no harm. The magician then put a stronger dose of poison into the wine. But the saint, again making the sign of the cross over the cup, drank with no ill effect. At this, the magician prostrated himself at George's feet, begged his pardon with loud lamentation, and asked that he be made a Christian. For this, he was beheaded in due time. The following day, the prefect ordered George to be bound upon a wheel that was fitted with sharp knives, but the wheel fell apart at once, and the saint remained unharmed. D'Artien then had him plunged into a cauldron of molten lead, but George made the sign of the cross, and by God's power, settled down as though he were in a refreshing bath. Now realizing that he was getting nowhere with threats and torments, D'Artien thought he might bring the saint around with soft speech. "George, my son," he said, "you see how long-suffering our gods are. They put up with your blasphemies so patiently, and yet are ready to forgive you if you consent to be converted. Follow my advice then, dearest son. Give up your superstition, sacrifice to our gods, and win great honors from them and from ourselves." George smiled and replied, "Why did you not say kind things to me before, instead of trying to overcome me by torture? So be it, I am ready to do as you say." D'Artien, deluded, was glad to hear of this, and ordered the herald to call the whole populace together to see George, who had resisted so long, finally yield and worship the gods. The city was strung with garlands and filled with rejoicing, and all stood by as George came into the temple to offer sacrifice. He fell to his knees and prayed to the Lord to destroy the temple with its idols so completely for the glory of God and the conversion of the people, that nothing would be left of it. Immediately, fire came down from heaven and consumed the temple, the idols, and the priests, and the earth opened and swallowed up anything that was left. Saint Ambrose says in his preface for Saint George, "While Christianity was professed only under cover of silence, George, most loyal soldier of Christ, alone and intrepid among Christians, openly professed his faith in the Son of God, and the grace of God in return gave him such fortitude that he could scorn the commands of tyrants and face the pain of innumerable torments. O blessed and noble fighter for the Lord!" Not only was he not won over by the flattering promise of earthly power, but he fooled his persecutor and cast the images of his false gods into the abyss. When D'Artien heard what had happened, he had George brought before him and said, "How evil can you be, you wickedest of men, that you could commit so great a crime?" George retorted, "You do me wrong, O king. Come along with me and watch me offer sacrifice again." "You trickster," D'Artien exclaimed. "What you want to do is to get me swallowed up, as you made the earth swallow the temple and my gods." "Miserable man," George answered. "How can your gods, who could not help themselves, help you?" Enraged, the king said to Alexandria, his wife, "I shall faint, I shall die, because I see that this man has got the best of me." Her response was, "Cruel, bloodthirsty tyrant, did I not tell you not to go on mistreating the Christians, because their God would fight for them? And now let me tell you that I want to become a Christian." Stupefied, the king cried, "Oh, worse and worse, so you too have been led astray." Thereupon he had her hung up by the hair of her head and beaten with scourges. While she was being beaten, he said to George, "O George, light of truth, what do you think will become of me, since I have not been reborn in the waters of baptism?" You have nothing to fear, lady, he answered. The shedding of your blood will be both your baptism and your crown. With that, she prayed to the Lord and breathed her last. Ambrose testifies to this, saying in his preface, For this reason, the queen of the pagan Persians, though she had not yet been baptized, was shown mercy and received the palm of martyrdom when her cruel spouse had condemned her to death. Hence, we may not doubt that she, crimson with the dew of her blood, gained entrance through the celestial portal and merited the kingdom of heaven. Thus, Ambrose. The following day, George was sentenced to be dragged through the whole city and then beheaded. He prayed the Lord that all who implored his help might have their request granted. And a heavenly voice came to him, saying that it would be so. His prayer finished, his head was cut off, and his martyrdom accomplished in the reign of the emperors Diocletian and Maximian, which began about the year of our Lord, 287. As for Dakin, when he was on his way back to his palace from the place of execution, fire fell from above and consumed him and his attendants. St. George's willingness to suffer and die for Christ was an example and inspiration for many confessors and martyrs after him. As an example, let me read an excerpt of a sermon from Father George Calciu, a Romanian Orthodox priest who suffered in prison for daring to criticize the Romanian communist dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu, when he talks about the importance of St. George in his life, and how the great saint helped Father Calciu when he had to suffer for Christ. God gives his martyrs special spiritual strength, and I have seen this in prison. That is, completely weak people, sick people who are barely breathing, like Valerian Gafencu, did not feel any suffering and continued to confess God, blessing their tormentors. Such was Gafencu, who died like a saint. So it was with all the martyrs. God gives them strength, and sometimes they do not even experience any physical suffering. Their flesh was torn with iron claws, nails were pounded into the hands and feet, they were burned with fire and they felt no pain. God gave them this strength to pass through sufferings. And the fact that they did not deny God, and that after they were burned, they went forth to people unharmed, led many of those present at the tortures to repent and join the ranks of Christians. This was an enormous service the Christians did. Therefore, our church says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christianity. The more Christians there were tortured and killed, the more Christians came out of their blood. They saw their steadfastness, the power of God, the miracles, and they repented. Right then and there, during the tortures, they came forward and confessed their faith before the emperor, declaring that they too are Christians. And often scores of them were thrown into the arena, where the beasts ripped them to shreds, and the soldiers put them to death. There was a close connection between St. George and me. When I was in prison, I always called upon him, and he helped me in many circumstances. From that time on, and to this day, I never cease to pray to him every day. I am convinced that between a saint and those who pray to him, a close connection is formed, and often many of the saint's qualities. If you have a close spiritual connection with him, appear in you also. In my case, for example, just as St. George went through prison, so did I. As St. George was strengthened by God in difficult circumstances, so was I strengthened in the most difficult moments, when I might have perished not only physically but also spiritually. But the saint's presence strengthened me, because he gives to those who bear his name firmness in faith and spiritual protection which God gives us through him. Pray to the saint whose name you bear, and he or she will help you. Turn to him in times of sorrow and sickness, in difficult circumstances, and in moments of joy. St. John or St. George, my protector, pray to God for me, a sinner. Pray to him, and he will hear your prayer. He is your advocate before God, the advocate of all those who bear his name. He brings our prayer before God and intercedes for us. Let us read from another sermon by the Roman Catholic saint, Peter Damian, on the occasion of St. George's Day. St. Peter Damian was a Benedictine monk and doctor of the Church. In this sermon, he draws a connection between the martyrdom of St. George and the miracle of Easter, since St. George's Day on April 23 often occurs around or a little after Easter. St. George was a man who abandoned one army for another. He gave up the rank of tribune to enlist as a soldier for Christ. Eager to encounter the enemy, he first stripped away his worldly wealth by giving all he had to the poor. Then, free and unencumbered, bearing the shield of faith, he plunged into the thick of the battle, an ardent soldier for Christ. Clearly, what he did serves to teach us a valuable lesson. If we are afraid to strip ourselves of our worldly possessions, then we are unfit to make a strong defense of the faith. As for St. George, he was consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Armed with the invincible standard of the cross, he did battle with an evil king. And he acquitted himself so well that in vanquishing the king, he overcame the prince of all wicked spirits, and encouraged other soldiers of Christ to perform brave deeds in his cause. Of course, the supreme invisible arbiter was there, who sometimes permits evil men to prevail, so that his will may be accomplished. And although he surrendered the body of his martyr into the hands of murderers, yet he continued to take care of his soul, which was supported by the unshakable defense of its faith. Let us not only admire the courage of this fighter in heaven's army, but follow his example. Let us be inspired to strive for the reward of heavenly glory, keeping in mind his example, so that we will not be swayed from our path, though the world seduce us with its smiles, or try to terrify us with naked threats of its trials and tribulations. We must now cleanse ourselves, as St. Paul tells us, from all defilement of body and spirit, so that one day we too may deserve to enter that temple of blessedness to which we now aspire. Anyone who wishes to offer himself to God in the tent of Christ, which is the Church, must first bathe in the spring of holy baptism. Then he must put on the various garments of the virtue. He who is reborn in baptism is a new man. He may no longer wear the things that signify mortality. He has discarded the old self and must put on the new. He must live continually renewed in his commitment to a holy sojourn in this world. Truly, we must be cleansed of the stains of our past sins and be resplendent in the virtue of our new way of life. Then we can be confident of celebrating Easter worthily and truly following the example of the Blessed Martyr. St. George's feast day is on April 23rd in both the Eastern Church and the Western Church, and it is a public holiday in multiple countries. Thank you for listening to the Christian Saints podcast. Look for the Christian Saints podcast page on Facebook or Instagram, or find us on Twitter at podcast_saints. All music in this episode was composed by my good friend, James John Marks of Generative Sounds. Please check out his music at generativesoundsjjm.bandcamp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use so more people can find the Christian Saints podcast and be blessed by these stories of God's saints. Let us end this episode with some Shakespeare. I will read from the play Henry V. In this play, the title character, King Henry, gives his famous rousing speech before leading his army into battle. This speech ends with an invocation to Saint George, who is, of course, the patron saint of England. Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more. Or close the wall up with our English dead. In peace there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger, stiffen the sinews, summon up the blood, disguise fair nature with hard-favored rage. Then lend the eye a terrible aspect, let pry through the portage of the head. Like the brass cannon, let the brow overwhelm it, as fearfully as doth a galled rock, o'erhang and jutty his confounded base. Swilled with the wild and wasteful ocean, now set the teeth and stretch the nostril wide. Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to his full height. On, you noblest English, whose blood is fed from fathers of war proof. Fathers that, like so many Alexanders, have in these parts from morn till even fought and sheathed their swords for lack of argument. Dishonor not your mothers, now attest that those whom you called fathers did beget you. Be copy now to men of grosser blood, and teach them how to war. And you, good yeoman, whose limbs were made in England, show us here the mettle of your pasture. Let us swear that you are worth your breeding, which I doubt not. For there is none of you so mean and base that hath not noble luster in your eyes. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon this charge, cry God for Harry, England, and St. George.